Good morning, everybody. It is Saturday, August 13th, 2022, International Left-Handers Day for left-handed people like myself. And this is going to be another episode of the Or Nerd Nary podcast, polynerdic.com's weekly nerd-centric life and culture podcast for adults. As always, I am your ordinary nerdy host, Shad. And I know typically every other week we do a shorter episode than a longer episode. Unfortunately, this week's episode is going to be rather short because as I sit here recording this morning, sipping on my morning coffee, I am awaiting the arrival of my landlord. And I am not sure when he's due to arrive. He gave one of those cable company responses of between here and here. And he's going to do an appliance inspection and make sure the apartment is up to his cleaning standards. There's no leaks, anything like that to deal with. So I spent yesterday cleaning up the house, or the apartment rather. Mopped all my floors, swept them first. Scrubbed the bathtub, got down on my hands and knees and cleaned around the toilet area. Toilet and bathtub, because you know how all that moisture makes that floor kind of funky. Reminded myself that I need bath mats. Not that it was terrible, but you know, it is a rough area to clean. Especially because the tile isn't flat in my bathroom. It's upraised, so there's like little, it's almost the kind of floor that you need to get into with a toothbrush and some bleach. Just to get the grout clean between the tiles. I really hate my bathroom floor. And then I played a bunch of Cult of the Lamb yesterday instead of preparing the show. So, real quick, my stuff this week has been entirely focused on D&D. Next weekend when I have the kids, Chelsea won't be available to play, so I am putting together a one-shot for some new characters that the kids and I created last weekend. Gonna use Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel. There's a 14th level quest in that that sounds right up the kids' alley. It's something they'll enjoy. So I've spent a lot of time on that. I spent another little bit of time on the main campaign because we're getting into the finale of it. That's basically it. I did watch two episodes of The Sandman last night before bed, after everything was said and done. I really enjoy it. I like the visuals of it. I think I like it better than the Audible version that they did, where they did a radio play, if you will, of the comic. I think some of the cast was better. In the Audible drama, and that's mostly just because I adore Kat Dennings and I want her to be in more things all the time, always, and I would like to have her to have been in this. I haven't got to death yet in Sandman, the Netflix series, but I hear the woman that performs Death is really good, so I'm just a sucker for Kat Dennings, and what can I say? I like a pale-skinned, dark-haired lady. I always have. Oddly enough, I don't care for the guy that's playing Sandman, but he's also pale-skinned, dark-haired. His performance hasn't hooked me yet. In fact, I talked about it on Twitter briefly last night, that, like, the first episode had me. I was just edge of my seat, hanging on every word. And then the second episode, I had to, like, back it up 4 or 5 times. It probably took me 2 hours to watch the second episode. Just because I just couldn't pay attention to it. My attention span just, like, my ADHD brain just went, nope, no longer into this. So I'll probably watch more of that this weekend and over the next week. I also got caught up on Critical Role. this last episode, if you've not watched it yet, I can't wait for you to see it. They're doing stuff with the moon. I love space stuff in D&D, which is fitting because Spelljammer comes out Tuesday. Although my pre-order says it's not due to get here till the 24th. I think that's a little weird. So hopefully I have it on Tuesday. And Cult of the Lamb. I fired that up Friday. Like I said, I took Friday off to do the apartment. But I did do a morning stream for a few hours from like 6 to 9:30-ish. Did my normal Crossing and Coffee. And then I switched over to Cult of the Lamb to, you know, play it for a little bit. And I played like 2 hours that morning. I'm like, yeah, this is great. And then yesterday afternoon, I came back for 4 more hours. It's just really good. I like the combination of the roguelite and with the quick runs. Like most runs are like 10 minutes long. It's not like Hades or Dead Cells or Dreamscaper where runs get into like the 40 minutes to an hour long and then you die and you're like, I just lost all that progress. Runs in the dungeons of... I say dungeons in quotes, of Cult of the Lamb are much faster. Just much, much faster. Like I said, 8 to 10 minutes, most cases. It's just really cool because you run in, you fight some monsters, you gather some resources as you go through. Especially if you're dedicated to clearing each room, chopping all of the destructible items, because there's oftentimes... resources there that you can collect. You get little buffs and weapons. That's one thing. It randomly generates your weapon and your spell, because your attacks are basically limited to a magic attack and a melee attack, and the melee attack is varies. I'm a big fan of the axes, especially vampiric axes. You give me a vampiric axe with a increase in speed to my attack, like a 125 or 1.25 or 1.5 speed increase on my attack, and I'm set. I love the axe. I loathe the daggers. They're fast naturally. They just don't hit hard enough. I don't like protracted battles with baddies. I want to hit them 2-3 times and kill them. So the dagger is definitely my least favorite. Right above the dagger would be the claws. You get these magical gauntlets, clawed hands that you attack with. And they hit real hard on like the third or fourth attack. Leveled up, they're better. I'm up on like level 4 or 5 weapons now. So they're better there by a long shot, but they still could be much better. And the sword's okay. The sword's like the mid tier, does decent damage, has decent attack speed, but I'm definitely in it for the axes. I think there's a hammer weapon. I just haven't ever used one. But the loop is, you go out into these dungeons, you fight a bunch of monsters. Occasionally, you get to choose your path, and that might lead you to some resources, or some food, or a shop, or a new cultist. And you gotta rescue them from the other cults. And once you rescue them, they teleport back to your camp. You finish the dungeon. If you're new to the dungeon and you haven't beaten the boss at the end of it, when you beat the boss, you get a new villager from that's based on the boss that you fought. And you take them back to your camp as well. Same way as they teleport back. And then when you return to camp after the end of the dungeon, you indoctrinate them into your cult, and you find out their stats. You can change their name, you can change their look based on a couple different whatever you've collected at that point. And then, because each area has like a handful of animal types, foxes, and I've got a fish, and I have the option for a unicorn, and I've got a Cthulhu, and the ones that are based on the monsters. And then you set them to work in your camp. Some of them do some worshiping, so you get some devotion points, and then others do stuff like tend the farm, or you set up these logging and mining camps once you've cleared off the resources in your area. Some janitors, you build outhouses, because if you don't have, until you have outhouses, every time they eat, if you're lucky, and because the berry meal can make them poop on the spot, which is gross, but every time they eat, they run to the edges of the map and poop, and then they freak out that there's poop. Their own poop makes them sick, they want to vomit immediately. Good news is you can use the poop as fertilizer, but eventually you can build outhouses. And then they use the outhouses, and you can just harvest the fertilizer from that. But yeah, it's very much a community management sim in the trappings of running a cult as these cute little animal critters. You're playing as a lamb, so, Cult of the Lamb. And then the whole plot, the overarching plot is you're building this cult to get more powerful so you can save the one who waits, which is like this eldritch three-eyed cat looking thing that's chained up in some, extra dimensional prison by its family, or family in quotes, the bishops of the old gods, the old faith, as they call it. And then that's like the loop there is, you go into the Darkwood, you do it two or three times. I think it's three times. You beat three mini bosses, and then you face the big boss. From the big boss, you don't get a villager, but you do get an artifact. Heart of a Heretic is what I got from the first one. And then you go to another area, and then another area. I'm in the second area now, on the second boss of that area. I'm still learning the monster pattern. I'm not that great at that second dungeon. I think I'm on, day 24 or 25 of the cult. And then, of course, the cultists age rather rapidly, unfortunately. It's weird that the game counts days, but they get old really quick. I haven't paid attention from, arrival to the time that they become an elder. But some of them just get old real fast. And then once they're a village elder, they're basically useless. The game's kind of ageist in that way that, they just kind of wander around and use up resources. They need to be fed still. They still get sick and need to be put on bed rest. And eventually they'll die of old age. Now, as you level up individual villagers, because there's just meters everywhere in this game, as you level up the loyalty of individual villagers, you get these pieces of tablets, commandment tablets, and it lets you set doctrines. Because you can do daily sermons, and that boosts the faith. Like I said, so many meters. There's a food meter, a faith meter, and a health meter for the entire encampment. And then there's individual loyalty meters for each cultist, and then there's tiers of yourself, of your weapons, of the magic you'll find, of the various doctrines. Each doctrine, there's five of them, one based in law and order, one based in possessions, one based in faith, one based in death, the afterlife. I've maxed out the afterlife one. My cult is currently set up to we can have funerals for people that die of natural causes. We can dance around a bonfire. We can ascend a villager, which they stand in the middle of a circle while everyone chants and dances, and then they ascend skyward, and then a bunch you hear them just get rended, and a bunch of meat and bones fall, which are resources. And then we also can sacrifice the elderly. That's our motif, is that it is the greatest honor to sacrifice a village elder. And they are all too happy to be sacrificed. It is the cutest, most adorable, ritualistic sacrifice to a tentacle monster I have ever seen. I fucking love it. It scratches so many itches at once, ticks off so many boxes at once. It's going to be in my top 10. I can, at this point, August, middle of August in 2022. Yeah, it's going to be in my top 10. Later this weekend, after we deal with the inspections and all that bullshit, we will certainly stream some of it, some more Elden Ring. Right now, those two games are kind of like neck and neck for game of the year for me. Again, I haven't played a ton of 2022 releases, but it is neck and neck this year. Man, that's like I said it yesterday, midday, while I was taking a break, letting my floors dry. I played it in the morning, and then midday, while I was doing stuff, I was still thinking about it, like moves I wanted to make, things I wanted to do, how I wanted to lay out my camp, because I love that kind of thing. Like I've talked about it a million times with Animal Crossing. I love like the community building aspects style games, or like Stardew Valley, where you build a farm and whatnot. So I just kept thinking about it, kept thinking about my adorable little cultist. The God who waits, the one who waits, says that you're supposed to use them to your advantage, but I feel an attachment to him. Like when one of them died of old age, I was sad that they died and buried them and had the funeral and it was all nice. When it's time to sacrifice, like I had one literally walk up to me and say, "Look, I want to be the next sacrifice." And I'm like, "No, like Kitty, I like you." That wasn't their name. It was like Rachel or something like that. But because I haven't really messed with their names any. I will randomize them, but I haven't like picked a name for anybody. I haven't been like, this guy's name is Steve. I did have one of my favorites become a dissenter. So I very quickly ascended him and got the faith back. Because that is my one gripe with it is if you die on a run, like if a boss kills you, the community loses 20 faith immediately. And it's like it's bad enough that you lose some of your resources that you've harvest. But then when you return to the camp, when you're resurrected back at the camp, something that, mind you, I think should be like, our cult leader is super powerful. Our God resurrected them. Something to me that would like spark faith. The game punishes you for it. So I don't know. Not my favorite aspect of it. But definitely a really good game. Definitely worth the $25. I was going to wait and hope and see that it came on Game Pass. But it was not going to. There's no plans for it, as they said. And I was like, you know what? I can justify the $25 this week. Could I have spent the $25 on like a haircut? Absolutely. But you know, I had my groceries. All my bills are paid that are due. And then the only remaining bill that's due can be paid with the paycheck that comes at the end of this upcoming week. So I was like, you know what? I can justify it. Really cannot advocate for that game enough. I'm also working on some stuff for more D&D focused content. It's been a couple weeks since I put any out. I really, really, really wanted to buy some of the new minis that just dropped that I didn't know were coming until this week for the Monsters of the Multiverse. But I held off on that in lieu of buying other things, mostly groceries. Because D&D just put out Icon of the Realms miniatures. Mordenkind presents Monsters of the Multiverse. You can get the brick 8 boxes for $120. They also have a $100 Neothilid. Yeah, the big worm thing that happens with Mind Flayers. I would love to get it. But again, not going to happen. Yeah, $120 for 8 of them. That they're so new that Miniature Market doesn't even have resale up on them yet, where you can buy the individual minis. I might at some point do that and just get the ones I want. But you know, I love an unboxing, and that's the shitty thing is again, not being a mover and shaker in the world of D&D stuff. But yeah, and then what was it? There was something else. The D&D content. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. This is what happens when I write without notes, or when I talk without notes. I wanted to do more D&D content, as I said. I teased it on TikTok last week, that Planebreaker, I've been reading it. I really need to invest in a tablet, because I have the hardest time sitting at my desk reading tabletop PDFs on my computer screen. I really need a tablet to just go sit down and read it like a book. Because even stuff on D&D Beyond, I have a hard time reading there. I don't know why. Like, I can look at stat blocks and utilize all that information when I'm creating the game that I play with my friend and family. But when it comes to actually reading the PDFs, I struggle if it's not in hand. I much prefer the books. To the point that I backed several recent, as in like the last several Kickstarters I backed, like the Volume 3 of Tome of Foes from Kobold Press. I backed the book, not the PDF. Steinhardt's, whatever, whatchamacallit. It's one that I actually backed this month. It's the most recent thing I've ever backed. Steinhardt's Guide to the Eldritch Hunt. I believed enough in that one to throw down on one of my credit cards the book cost. I'll get the PDF too, which will help when I'm, you know, planning stuff on the computer. But I just love a physical book. But yeah, I've been trying to do the Planebreaker. Planebreaker and Tome of Heroes from Kobold Press. Planebreaker from Monte Cook Games and Tome of Heroes from Kobold Press. I want to do content with them, but it's just so hard to read a PDF that's 300-400 pages long on my computer screen. Maybe it's because my computer screen's not very big. Maybe if I had like a TV-sized monitor, I would have an easier time reading it. I don't know. I just have the hardest time with it, and it drives me nuts. News-wise, I just want to pull up some news stuff real quick. This might be a half-hour episode. We might get a full half-hour in. Let's take a look at movie news first. Ezra Miller's in trouble again. I did see that. The dude has a remarkable Carmen Sandiego-esque way of teleporting around the country and causing havoc. I think this time he was in Vermont. Where is it at? A lot of movie news. I hear Prey is really good. I haven't got to see it because I don't have Hulu. Carl Urban still wants to make a Dread sequel. I forgot that Carl Urban was in Bourne Supremacy. I'm just reading headlines at this point. I know it's exciting, right? There's another Halloween movie coming. I had no idea. I haven't seen the newest ones at all. Matt Reeves' The Batman 2 is yet to receive an official green light. Anyway, Ezra Miller got himself in trouble. Again. And Warner Brothers still seems to be like, yep, that's our guy. Which still chafes a lot of people the wrong way after the Batgirl cancellation last week. Although we do have a story here that says Batgirl could be in future DC movies despite the film's cancellation. Leslie Grace's Barbara Gordon could appear in other DC movies, according to a new report. Let's see. Harley Quinn is going to be in The Joker 2, played by oh, what's her name? I forget her name. Lady Gaga. I'm still not entirely thrilled that Joker 2 is supposed to be a musical. I thought the first Joker was fine. I don't think it was the iconic film that a lot of people in certain circles seem to think it is. I still need to watch Obi-Wan. Oh, here we go. Finally found the Ezra Miller story. Warner Bros. Discovery is reportedly not ruling out canceling The Flash due to Ezra Miller's recent behavior. Which is disappointing because like at this point it's almost like why not just reshoot everything with a different actor? Everything that Ezra Miller was in, just reshoot it with a different actor. Because I was so looking forward to a Flashpoint movie. which is kind of what the Flash is going to do. Yeah, he was charged with felony burglary in Vermont. These developments come after reports surfaced that Miller will no longer be part of the DCEU and the studio will recast Flash for any future appearances. Just fucking recast it. And, like, it's a $200 million movie. I get it. It's a lot of money. Make it a fucking $300 million movie and get rid of Ezra Miller at this point. Like, it does appear that the stance that the Flash cannot be canceled is changing. So that's cool. He really needs to. I don't know. He needs help. Let's see. Yeah, I keep seeing a lot of stuff about Prey. I can't wait till I get to see it at some point. Ethan Hawke wants Magnificent Seven movies 5 hour cut released. There's a 5 hour cut of the Magnificent Seven remake. I need to see that too. I know that was several years ago, but holy shit, 5 hours. I can listen to things for 5 hours. I don't know if I can watch things for 5 hours. Disney Plus is going to add an ad tier and increase the cost of the non-added tier. That's ridiculous. Like, we've gone full circle now. We've gone full fucking circle. And, like, the whole point of cord cutting was to save money and not deal with ads, right? That's universally why we did it. We stopped paying for cable and we started paying for subscription services, streaming services, to do away with all that. And then everybody had to have their own streaming service, which put us right back to being as expensive as cable. And then now a bunch of the streaming services are like, okay, this low tier, the lowest tier of the $10, the $15 tier, whatever, is gonna have ads. And it's fucking ridiculous. This headline, Halloween Ends, officially rated R for bloody horror, violence, and gore. It's a fucking Halloween movie. Black phone. What is the black phone? I keep hearing about the black phone. Yeah, Emma Thompson responds to Sean Bean's intimacy coordinator criticism. Yeah, earlier this week, Sean Bean had some words about how it takes the spontaneity out of the scene when there's an intimacy coordinator on a movie, and it's like, dude, you're not actually having sex. Like, it's not a romantic thing. It's a very mechanical. There have been multiple actors and actresses I've read talk about how awkward sex scenes are, intimate scenes are, because it's not intimate. It's very much a production. I think intimacy coordinators are a good idea. There's a Mortal Kombat animated movie coming out. I did not know that. Giancarlo Esposito wants to play Professor X. I think he'd be great at it. I know fanboys are freaking out because, skin tone is such a huge fucking controversial thing now, or always has been, but because we're at our core a racist ass country. But I think he'd be a fantastic Professor X. I say give him a shot at it, man. I mean, he always plays villains. Let him play fucking Professor X. Anne Heche declared legally dead at 53 yesterday after that terrible car crash she was in. I saw some stuff from her kids. I don't know how old her kids are. I would assume adults at her age, 53, even if she had a kid at 20, or excuse me, at like in her 30s, they would be close to adulthood. But I don't want to make assumptions. Let me take a look at the story here. Oh, I forgot she was an Ohioan, Aurora, Ohio, on May 25th, 1969. I didn't know she was in I Know What You Did Last Summer. Yeah, I remember when she was in a relationship with Ellen DeGeneres in the 90s. Yeah, this article doesn't talk about her kids. And she has upcoming act that's it's always sad. Big tragic accidental death. I mean, death is always sad, but on Day Shift, Jamie Foxx's vampire movie is on Netflix, so I have to watch that. I didn't know that the Black Phone was a Joe Hill story. I'm definitely gonna have to watch it now. Ethan Hawke is in his villain era. He was the villain in Moon Knight. On Disney, and now he's the grabber in Black Phone. I gotta check that out. Okay, let's see. Let's take a look at some gaming news and then wrap it up because I managed to milk this for over 30 minutes. Yay me. This is arguably one of my worst episodes ever. Hogwarts Legacy delayed to February 2023. Never been a big Harry Potter fan. Only saw the movies in the last 8 years. I'm gonna say it was probably closer to 8 years ago was when the first time I saw the movies, because it was in the first year or two of Chelsea and I dating, so it had been around 2014. Yeah, it would have been around 2014 was when I saw the Harry Potter movies. I was never a huge fan of them. I enjoyed several of the movies, not all of them. Some were obviously better than others. Given the anti-trans bullshit that Rowling spews, I can't, in good conscience, support anything that she's attached to. And while I know she did not make this game, she makes money on everything Harry Potter. So I can't. Can't do it. Like, unless I saw in writing that J.K. Rowling makes not a dime on that game, I cannot be interested in it. It could be get canceled for all I care. Another game. Wow, lots of games. Dropping to 2013. Metal Slug Tactics coming out in 2023. I said 2013. Nightingale Early Access launched 2023. We've talked about it a lot on here. Delays are good. We all know that, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 could have used another year of delays. Maybe more. But they wanted it out. I've talked about it time and time and time again on here that I believe in just holding a game as long as it takes to get the best game made. And I stand by that. We have a Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie coming out next year, or 2 years from now, holiday 2024. I'm curious about that because I heard the second one was Jim Carrey's last acting role. So who's going to be the villain? Speaking of Sonic, Sonic costumes are back in Fall Guys starting this week. So we're several days into that, I guess. 2 Point Campus dropped on Game Pass this week. I have not taken a look at it yet. We might do that this weekend. PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium get a bunch of games. Looks like, just in this infographic, Dead by Daylight, Yakuza 0, Kiwami, Kiwami 2, Bugsnax, Tom Clancy Ghost Recon. Metro Exodus, Monopoly Madness, Monopoly Plus, Trials of Mana. Aw, man, that sucks. I wanted to play that, but it's on PlayStation. Is Trials of Mana on Xbox? Listen to me as I type into Google. No, it's on Switch and PlayStation, it looks like. Yeah, Switch and PlayStation. Yeah, so that's good for the PlayStation people. Good for them. Any other super important special news? Any other super important special news? This coming week, we'll see on the 18th a big showcase from Wizards of the Coast. It's looks like it's going to be more than just D&D. Probably going to have a lot of Magic the Gathering in it too, and some of their other games. I wouldn't be surprised. Midnight Suns, Marvel's Midnight Suns, also delayed into 2023. Bandai Namco's teasing a new Tekken, it looks like. There's a new Fatal Fury game coming. Lots of fighting games. Well, here we go again, going back to movies. With the Warner Brothers Discovery merger, they're now saying that they're going to have a 10-year plan, just like the Marvel movies. They're trying again. They're going back to that well. They want to be Marvel. We'll see, right? We'll see how it goes for them. I think we're going to end on that note, though. This has been a rambling, disorganized 45 minutes. I'm going to get this posted. Fuck around here in the apartment for a little bit. Until the landlord arrives and says, hey, this isn't clean enough. That's a good job. Whatever. It's going to be a beautiful Saturday. We're going to not even get out of the... Like, right now, it's 59 degrees. It's beautiful. Looks like there's thunderstorms expected. Tomorrow. 80's the high. That's good. I continue my streak of not having the air conditioner on. Looks like next Saturday and Sunday I'm going to have to turn the air back on, though. Adulthood. Yay. Budget stuff. Fun. Like nerd life and culture. I did say... Nerd life and culture, and budgeting is definitely part of that, isn't it? Man, I hope you have a good weekend. I hope my weekend continues to kick ass. You know, we got off to a great start yesterday, and I hope to continue to do so today and tomorrow. It is only 8:30 on Saturday morning. That's the hard part to believe. I feel like I've been up forever. But I've only been up about an hour and a half. Thank you for listening to another rambling, disorganized episode of the Ordinary Podcast. I know, it wasn't my best work. You can find us on all the social media. Search Polynerdic on a variety of them. You know, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook even. We have a subreddit that we barely use. I want to use it more, but I just there's just no activity there. Same with our Discord. You can support us on Patreon, Ko-fi, and Twitch. We are an affiliate on Twitch. I'd like to be a partner, but that's we're so far away from that happening. As always, you can find our video stuff, YouTube, when they go up after the fact, Twitch, where they're live. We will be around this weekend, though. Going to do some content creation, right? Isn't that the name of the game? Create content. Going to write a little bit. Going to do some video stuff. Going to play some video games. Going to watch some more Sandman. Maybe even get into Obi-Wan. I don't know. We'll see. Until next time, though, friends and family and neighbors. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you in a week if I don't see you on any of the other stuff we do. Goodbye.